the argument, and I may say two things. One, I've been sitting here listening to arguments, and I just think it's what a wonderful place you gentlemen are, because the problems you have to solve are as varied from the North to the South Pole, and it's a great place to be, in the sense of having to think about all those different things. And two, about arguing over the phone, I once was in a situation where at the last minute I had to cross-examine over the phone, which is even a more interesting experience.
Much more challenging, I'm sure.
Just a few things at the last second the government wanted to put on. Getting to the fact of this case, there are lots of things I can argue, but since what you think is important is a lot more than what I think is important, the first thing I'll ask is whether any of you have any questions. If not, I'll proceed to argue what I think is important.
Very good.
Okay. The state courts are absolutely wrong, and they violate the constitutional rights, whatever the magic terms are under habeas corpus, for the following reasons. First of all, and I think this is primarily, the state prosecutor not only cross-examined in this case, but had every opportunity to cross-examine, and had every opportunity to cross-examine on anything he wanted to show that the witness was not reliable, not truthful, not credible. This is not a situation where he attempted to cross-examine the motion to suppress and the trial judge cut him off and said, you can't go into that, it's not that important. There was no limitation placed. There was no
objection. Did he cross-examine Hugh, in fact?
Absolutely. That's the one you said on page 20 and 21. Prue was subject to cross-examination, and the purpose of that cross-examination was to demonstrate that Pugh was lying when he said that the drugs were in his pants, that they'd been in his pants for 2 hours before the police arrived. And that's the whole issue at the trial of guilt or innocence. It's the same very exact issue, and he was cross-examined. And there was every opportunity to cross-examine. Anything he wanted to do, he could have done. Two, the state says, well, you know, this is really not Chambers because there was no corroboration of Pugh that he had the item in his pants. Well, what type of corroboration would there be? You stick something in their pants, in your pants, who's going to be around there to corroborate that you did it? I mean, it's an absurd position that the court below in the state, part of the state Supreme Court, was 5-4 decision of the state Supreme Court.
Not 5-4.
It was 4-3. It's the same equivalent everyone. Three, the state argues here, as did the court, the other court, as if the state of Illinois is protected by the Sixth Amendment right of confrontation. The state is not. The sole protection they have is the right of hearsay, which is much less than a right that a defendant has, the Sixth Amendment, which is far stronger. Not only that, anything that the state didn't do in cross-examination, which they could have done, they could have presented a trial through other evidence. They could have brought out other evidence concerning the connection between the defendant, the reason that one defendant might have to cover up for another defendant. All those things could have been brought out and therefore substituted for any limitation of cross-examination. And that, when we look at the law with regard to the limitations on the defendant's right of cross-examination, which is greater under the Sixth Amendment right of confrontation, they say, well, as long as the trier of fact of the jury was able to put the parties in their appropriate place, as Vaughn something or other is the case, I don't remember the exact name, they could have put them in the exact place. This was a limitation. And one other major reason why the court below and the Illinois Supreme Court is wrong is it relates to the fact that this is not, like in Chambers, the case when you were dealing with an out-of-court witness, and the rules that were set down in Chambers were rules which talk about out-of-court witness, and they said you need these rules because with an out-of-court witness who's not under oath. Clearly a different standard applies when a person is under oath, and the Chambers language makes that very clear, and the witness in this case had been under oath. So in just every material aspect, they misapplied Chambers, and I feel that the court below is wrong. There is one other additional fact which I want to bring to the court's attention, the specific information I must thank my worthy opponent for. As the court may be aware, that on the issue of whether the habeas corpus was properly filed, there was a ruling, and this is up in the U.S. Supreme Court in this very case at this time. It's what it's up there for is on the petition of the government for petition for certiorari with a brief filed in opposition they asked me to file, and I've been told by my worthy opponent that it's on the discussion panel for tomorrow. So I just thought I'd let you know that.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen. Mr. Iskowich?
Good morning, Your Honors. Mr. Cohen, may it please the Court. My name is David Iskowich with the Attorney General's Office here in Chicago. First thing off the bat, I'd like to apologize to the Court for something in my brief that's erroneous. On the top of page 13 in my heading, that isn't the right argument. The argument portion is applicable to this case, but I inserted the wrong argument. It belongs in another habeas case, and I think the other one got superimposed in the other habeas case. So I do apologize if there was any confusion on that point. With respect to the issue here, I just step back and mention that this is a post-AEDPA case, and therefore this court's standard of review is limited to determining whether the Illinois Supreme Court's disposition of this Chambers issue was reasonable or not. The briefs discuss quite a bit the issue of whether the state's available opportunity to cross-examine witness Pugh at the suppression hearing was adequate for purposes of testing his credibility. The briefs discuss this issue a lot, and the state courts discuss this issue a lot, and this issue, of course, was in the
forefront. But I don't understand that. I don't understand what limitation there was on the cross-examination of Pugh at the suppression hearing.
Well, Your Honor, if I might just quickly make a point that, in answer to your question first, Your Honor, in Illinois, it's well established that the scope of cross-examination is limited and hindered by what was brought out on direct. And in this case, what was brought out on direct were
No, in cross-examination, you can ask anything that's reasonably designed to undermine the credibility of the witness.
True, Your Honor.
I mean, a good example would be if he had a criminal record, you can bring that out on cross-examination, even though it's not mentioned in his direct examination.
True. I think that, however, we must realize that this was a suppression hearing. The issue is very focused here. The issue focused on whether Officer Drives...
The issue focused on Pugh's credibility, and you could have used anything, you could have asked him anything that would cast doubt on his credibility.
With all due respect, Your Honor, I must disagree. The scope dealt with whether the window was rolled up or down, whether the car was speeding, whether Officer Drives yanked Mr. Pugh out of the car, or whether
Pugh was telling the truth.
That was established in what happened at the suppression hearing was adequate to establish that.
Establish what?
That Mr. Pugh was not credible.
Yeah, and you could have brought out I don't know what you wanted to bring out at the trial, that he was a gang member or something, and
What couldn't have been brought out? Why would you lie about your relationship with Pugh? Are you in a gang? Is Mr. Rice in a gang hierarchy above you? Are you covering for Mr. Rice? None of these questions relate to the topic at the suppression hearing, which was whether or not Officer Drives had reasonable cause to stop the car and search Mr. Pugh. If I might just step back a second here, Your Honor, I'm sorry.
Wasn't Rice in the car?
Rice was driving the car.
So why wouldn't Pugh's relationship to Rice be appropriate matter for cross-examination?
Because it wasn't germane to whether or not...
I don't understand you.
Pugh's motion to suppress, Your Honor.
It's Pugh's motion to suppress, if the motion is granted, it helps Rice.
Of course. They both lost.
So if Pugh is Rice's tool, if they're in the gang together, why isn't that relevant to Pugh's credibility?
It's not relevant because it's not credible to whether he was holding the drugs by himself and whether or not...
I'm talking about the suppression hearing.
That's correct. The suppression hearing focused on Drives and Pugh. Mr. Rice did take the stand at the suppression hearing and testified to questions unrelated to whether or not he gave the drugs to Mr. Pugh. He was questioned on whether the car was...
Pugh was questioned at this hearing, and the testimony he gave tended to exonerate Rice as well as himself. So why wasn't it germane to inquire into their relationship at the suppression hearing?
Illinois.
See whether Pugh had a motive to give this testimony that would help Rice.
Motive to testify falsely was not the issue, Your Honor.
Why?
It couldn't be
That's
the issue. Under state law, it couldn't be, Your Honor.
Why?
Because it was way outside the scope of what Mr. Pugh's own attorney asked him on direct examination.
Couldn't you have impeached Rice impeached Pugh by presenting evidence of a criminal conviction?
I don't know, Your Honor.
Why do you say that?
Say what, Your Honor?
How can that be? That under Illinois law, you can't use criminal convictions to impeach a witness's credibility?
You can use convictions, yes, Your Honor.
Then why did you say you didn't know?
I thought you were asking whether I must have misunderstood your question, Your Honor. I apologize. May I make a point?
My question was, let's make sure we get this correct. Could, at the suppression hearing, could Pugh have been impeached with evidence that he had a criminal conviction?
I believe so, Your Honor.
But that would not have been within the scope of the direct examination.
No, it would have gone to his credibility. I see your point, Your Honor. I'm simply offering a theory here for affirmance, and the Illinois courts have been steadfast throughout this litigation in determining that that was outside the scope. Even at the before trial, Your Honor, the parties discussed this issue in detail. The state's attorney brought it up. It was defended vigorously by defense counsel, and the state's attorney said, I would have asked these questions. They probably would have been objected to, and those objections probably would have been sustained. Now, the trial court didn't offer an opinion on this. It wasn't in a position to, because it didn't know what questions would be asked. But every state court in this case has followed Illinois law. It hasn't applied it in a mechanistic fashion. It has given Mr. Rice a full opportunity to litigate the question. And under Chambers, the indicia of reliability weren't met. If I could just get away from the cross-examination question, we discussed it a lot here. We discussed it a lot in the briefs. We discussed it a lot in the state courts. Something that's gone not quite overlooked, but which has gotten kind of short shrift here, has been Mr. Pugh's motive to lie here as an indicator of the reliability of the statement. If Mr. Pugh is believed here, both he and Rice walk. And I think this is one factor that's probably gotten a less bit of attention than it's deserved. As far as the other corroborating evidence that Mr. Pugh had the drugs on his own, there is none showing that he did. And Mr. Cohn has inquired what matter or what import that is and how it could be corroborated. It could have been corroborated in a number of ways. Theoretically, we could have had another passenger in the back seat. Mr. Pugh's girlfriend, if there was one, might have seen him stuff the drugs in his pants. There's any number of scenarios which would have gone to corroborate his story. There are none in this record, however. If the court had no further questions, I would just simply conclude that the state courts gave Mr. Rice a full opportunity to litigate the question. He even got up to the Illinois Supreme Court on a petition for leave to appeal. It was reversed.
So your only argument is that this testimony is unreliable, not that it's not within one of the hearsay exceptions.
Well, the Illinois Supreme Court, Your Honor, with respect to the statement against penal interest exception, assumed for purposes of this argument that it was a statement against
penal interest. No, it's not that. It's the former testimony.
The Illinois Supreme Court did both former testimony and
statement. Clearly it's former testimony.
It is former testimony, correct. And there's under Illinois law.
So you just don't think it was reliable because primarily because you thought that. But with regard to the suppression hearing, the drugs were part of that, right?
Yes.
Why wasn't that exactly the same question as the question that was central to the trial?
The question central at trial was whether or not Rice was guilty of the underlying offense. The question at the suppression hearing was whether Officer Droz had probable cause to pull the car over and search Mr. Pugh.
No, that's the issue, but the fact, the place, the location of the drugs, wasn't that critical?
Well, the way of getting to those, however, is different, Your Honor.
Okay.
Under Illinois law.
But the issue is the same, right? And the truthfulness of Pugh's statement that he had the drugs rather than being handed them by Rice, wasn't that an issue in both the suppression hearing and the trial?
Not at trial. Well, it was, Your Honor, but again,
if it's the exact same question, why aren't the exact same methods of impeachment usable in both proceedings.
Because we're at two different stages of the proceedings,
Your Honor. I don't get that. In either stage, the truthfulness of Pugh's statement about the location of these drugs is critical. It's critical in the suppression hearing. It's critical at trial. The state is allowed to use anything, you know, within reason to undermine the credibility of that testimony. So anything it could have used at trial about gang membership or hierarchy or anything, it could have used to show that Pugh was lying, at the suppression hearing.
I think the key phrase Your Honor used was within reason. It wasn't within reason for the state to go off on a tangent here about gang relationships.
But why would it be any more a tangent in the suppression hearing, granted that the issue where the location of the drugs was material in that proceeding, why would it be any more a tangent then than it would at trial when the identical issue arose?
The issues were perhaps the same, Your Honor, but the setting in which the issues were explored were different, and I think that...
So what? The issue is the same, and Pugh's credibility is critical, and so why wouldn't the state be given the same scope in trying to impeach his credibility?
It wasn't under Illinois law.
What
as far
Illinois
as policy
law?
Concerns
is that,
behind
is there a regulation, a statute,
it's a case? Yes, it's a case, Your Honor. It's People versus Horton, I believe. If you could... People versus Gross, Your Honor, page 18 of my brief, towards the middle.
You're only I haven't read that case. All you say about it is the scope of cross-examination is generally limited to matters covered on direct examination.
Correct, Your Honor.
Nothing there about the difference between the suppression hearing and the trial.
That,
and you have acknowledged that this is not a complete statement of Illinois or any law, since the scope of cross-examination takes in credibility questions, even if they were not raised in the direct examination. So I don't see how Gross does anything for you.
Your Honor, I'm simply giving this court a way to affirm.
I don't understand you. Giving us a way to affirm by citing a case that doesn't support your position?
I believe it does support the position,
Is there
Your Honor?
A case that talks about the difference in the scope
Rice does, Your
of
Honor.
Inquiry into credibility in a suppression hearing versus a... There's another case.
Rice does, Your Honor. The Rice case itself speaks of that.
So Gross...
It's in addition...
Gross, you meant Rice.
In addition,
well, this
Horton speaks of that.
You mean this case?
Horton speaks, yes, and right. People versus Horton, Your Honor, which is also cited in my brief, which is also an Illinois Supreme Court case, that opportunity to cross-examine is different depending on the type of hearing which is involved.
You don't cite it for that proposition, but of course...
I apologize for that, Your Honor. If there are no further inquiries from the court, thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Cohn?
The cross-examination, I suppose you're correct, because motive, interest, and bias is always a proper subject of cross-examination. And what they're saying here is they didn't go into motive, interest, and bias for the relationship between the two, and that's always proper for cross-examination. This is not a case where the prosecutor was cut off. He can't speculate. And for them to speculate, well, maybe there could have somebody who had seen Pugh stick something, some drugs, and therefore it's speculative. It's just purely speculative. And as instructions on conspiracy often say about drug dealing is usually done in a secretive fashion. So there wouldn't be anybody around to see when you did it. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Mr. Cohn. Mr. Rich. Case taken.